listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you break free from binging, body shame, and diets that don't work. I am a psychoanalyst specializing in eating disorders, and I know that you can break free for good. You know what I want for you? I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to join me today, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is not food. It's not what you're eating that is the problem. It's what's eating at you. And that said, today we are going to talk about the dark side of dieting. Oh, yes. It is no secret that dieting can be tough. When you feel constantly deprived, it's easy to give in to cravings because we want the thing that we think we can't have. And we end up binging on all of our, you know, bad foods, all of our forbidden foods. And that's why they call it the diet binge cycle. And that totally derails your health goals. It leaves you feeling frustrated. It leaves you feeling disappointed. It leaves you feeling bad. And it leaves you feeling bad about yourself. So today, I'm going to talk about the dark side of dieting and how to overcome the emotions that can lead to binge eating. So how does dieting lead to binge eating? So diets fail because on some level, they are about deprivation. And that always leads to overeating and binging, because the anticipation of not being able to have what you want will only make you want something more. If I tell you right now, if I say, hey, don't think about elephants, my favorite animal, don't think about elephants, what pops into your mind? Oh yeah, elephants. So when we tell ourselves we can't have something, we just want it more. It's in our minds. We obsess about it. We want it. We want it. We want it. We spend all day night white knuckling it, telling ourselves we can't have it. And if you are spending all day thinking about not having pizza or ice cream or anything with a carb, then you've got food on your mind all day. And that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you are eating and not why. Diets work as long as you stay on them. But ultimately, diets hurt your mood, your spirit, your sense of enjoyment of life. And food is part of life. It should be enjoyed in an ideal world. And if that seems impossible to you, well, I'm here to tell you it is not impossible. As Nelson Mandela said, it is only impossible until it is done. So it is possible. You know, Taryn Brumfitt, she did a documentary called Embrace, which I highly recommend. It's super amazing, interesting documentary about our culture and the pressure that we feel to look a certain way and how that really diminishes us in so many ways. In her documentary, in Embrace, she says she never trusts a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die. How awesome is that? And it's so true, because diets kill your spirit. They kill your enjoyment of life. They're horrible. And we can never stay on them. So diets work as long as we're on them. But you want to spend the rest of your life counting macros and thinking about what you should or shouldn't have and feeling good because you had a salad and bad because you had a brownie? I don't think so. I don't think so. So diets fail for physiological and psychological reasons. So let me talk about the physical part first. So diets are restrictive. There's always something you can't have on a diet. And that often leads to you eating less, leads to hunger, more hunger, and a slower metabolism. Because if you don't get enough calories, your body goes, oh, fewer calories are coming in, let's slow our roll, right? So your metabolism goes into a kind of a starvation mode and it slows down. So fewer calories come in, your metabolism becomes more efficient, it slows down. So that means that you need fewer calories to keep your body going, your blood flowing, your heart pumping, all the good stuff. When you go off a diet, which you inevitably will, you gain weight because now, not just because of what you're eating, but because your metabolism has slowed down. So now you actually need fewer calories just to get by day to day, just for maintenance. So it's a really vicious cycle. So essentially, dieting makes you gain weight more easily. Not good. Not good. And also, dieting is stressful. And there have been studies, I talk about this more in my book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. There are studies that show that just the stress of dieting can raise your cortisol levels, and that is associated with gaining weight more easily too. There are a plethora of reasons why dieting makes you gain weight. So now let's talk about the psychology of dieting, which of course is my area. So in terms of the psychology of dieting, diets fail because they only deal with food. They focus on what you are eating and not why. They don't address the underlying stuff that makes you want to turn to food in the first place. And I just talked to someone the other day and she said, hey, I read the books, I did the thing, I stopped dieting. And then she said she gained a bunch of weight. She's like, what happened? I'm not restricting anymore. I'm not depriving myself. I'm binging. Yeah, because it's not enough to just simply not deprive yourself. If you don't find new ways of coping with what you're feeling, which means you don't find out why you're eating, yeah, you're going to gain weight. Deprivation of food is only just the surface. So there are many reasons that we have issues with food. There are many issues. We turn to food for comfort, for celebration, for distraction, to numb emotions, to be symbolically filled, right? Sometimes if we're lonely, for example, we feel empty. Emptiness feels like a hole within you, and you might be, unbeknownst to you, it's not like you're going, I have a hole within me, let me fill it with food. No, you're going to tell yourself you're bored, or you're going to tell yourself you're a food addict, or you're going to tell yourself there's something wrong with you, you have no control, you have no willpower. No, something else is going on, and it's really important to be curious about what that is, because that is the problem. Food binging is the solution to the problem. So the cycle of losing weight by dieting and then regaining that weight, it causes frustration, anxiety, a sense of powerlessness, a feeling of failure. And when you use food to cope, got ahead of myself there, with those painful feelings, the painful and upsetting experience of dieting can actually lead to binging. You feel so bad about, you know, yourself because you ate something, or you're so stressed out because you're telling yourself you can't have this, you can't have that. You end up binging just to get away from you, just because it's all too much and you feel overwhelmed, and eating can relax you. It's another thing that it does. So it's really important to recognize if you are turning to food in a way that isn't about assuaging hunger, something else is going on. What are you really hungry for? If you have seen the movie Oliver Twist, or read the book, I think it's in the book too, but one of the most memorable scenes in the movie is when young Oliver bravely steps forward to make a meek request of the workhouse master, a really scary guy. And he says, please, sir, I want some more food. He wants some more gruel. And our hearts just go out to Oliver, who clearly desperately is starving for more food and clearly deserves to have more. But take a moment and consider your own life and the areas in which you may want more. Not more food, something else. So our relationship with food can mirror what's missing in our lives. And many expressions, if you think about our language, many expressions utilize food metaphors to describe a feeling of yearning, hungry for love, starving for attention. When we feel deprived, we often comfort ourselves with food as a way to symbolically make up for what's missing in our lives. And that is how deprivation, whether it's of food, of love, of connection, attention, of satisfaction, financial security, or anything else, that is how deprivation is a trigger for binging. If you can't have more money, that's a bummer. But you can have more food. If you can't have more connection, more friends, more love, more satisfaction, it's really upsetting, but you could have more food. And so often we turn to food as a way of feeling less deprived. So the next time you are feeling deprived, take a step back and really try to understand, what is it that you are really hungering for at the moment? Is it affection? Is it connection? Is it a sense of belonging? Is it just a sense of well-being? Do you just not want to feel like such an outsider in the world? Do you just want to feel like you fit in somewhere? Do you want to feel like you have your people with you? Do you want to feel like you're good enough? Do you want to feel good? So here are some common reasons that underlie binge eating. You feel sad and you really want some comfort. You want a hug, but nobody's there to really console you. So you turn to food to give yourself a feeling of comfort, because how often are we told, like, oh, you're sad, have some ice cream. I mean, it's embedded in our culture that food's going to make us feel better. Oh, you're sad, have some chocolate. Oh, a bad breakup. Do you know? Check this out. This is true. There is actually an ice cream flavor called Bad Breakup. I forget the company that makes it, somewhere in the Midwest. It is an ice cream flavor called Bad Breakup. Well, that's just such an obvious correlation between feelings and food. So our culture says, hey, if you feel sad, eat some ice cream. Our culture doesn't say, if you feel sad, here's how to respond to yourself. Here's how to talk to yourself. Here's to how to comfort yourself with words. What a concept. Another reason that underlies binge eating is loneliness. Loneliness, again, I just mentioned it. I'll mention it again. Loneliness feels like emptiness, and food can symbolically fill that void. If you're in an unsatisfying relationship, or if you're in no relationship, you might turn to food to satisfy your unmet needs. When life is unsatisfying, food can be satisfying. In fact, how do we talk about it? Oh, that was a really satisfying meal. Our language constantly connects food and relationship, food and emotion. Also, if you're in a situation that you can't control in the world, you may focus on your powerlessness over food instead of feeling powerless over the situation. I saw this a lot when you know, we were in quarantine during the pandemic. We all felt so powerless over that virus. There was at first, especially, there was nothing to do. You couldn't even get a vaccine. You couldn't do anything except wear a mask. That's all you could do. And so many people felt so powerless, so helpless, they started focusing more on the things that they could control in their lives. So the, instead of powerlessness over COVID, it became powerlessness over food. And that's not just, you know, limited to huge, you know, catastrophic life events like what we all went through with COVID. It's, hey, you can't get through to your boss or your partner or your kids or somebody. You feel powerless to change someone's mind or powerless to get someone's attention or powerless to have some kind of reaction you're not getting from another person. A lot easier to go like, oh my God, I'm so powerless over food. I have no control over food, than it is to recognize that we don't have control in certain areas of our lives. So one of the sucky things to realize is that deprivation happens. It's so uncomfortable of a reality, but deprivation happens. We don't always have our needs met. We don't always get what we want, which is so disappointing and upsetting. We like to believe we have more of a control over our lives. And that, by the way, is another reason why we diet. And of course, dieting is a setup for binging, because the $60 billion diet industry has sold us the idea that we actually do have control over our lives by having control over our bodies. If you lose weight, says the $60 billion diet industry, then you will be happier. You will have the things you don't have. You will feel the things you don't feel. If you are unhappy, you'll be happy. If you are insecure, you'll be confident. How about that? What a superpower. All you have to do is lose weight and gain the life you don't have. Now, if that were true, amazing. We could all have the lives we want. We just change our bodies. Only it's an illusion, a complete illusion. And the diet industry also wants us to stay dieting, because otherwise, how can it sustain itself? So the reality is deprivation happens. There are things in our lives that we don't get to have. And that is a giant bummer. So let's talk about how we can deal with deprivation other than go to food to make up for it symbolically. So one reason is to deal with the feeling of what it's like to be deprived. Now, our culture also says, hey, don't have feelings. Just be grateful. Positive think it away. Just let it go. Oh, don't think about that. Think about something else. Don't feel your feelings is essentially the message. But feelings are simply reactions to situations. They are not character flaws. They don't mean anything about us other than we are human beings and we are living lives and being affected by life. Reactions are feelings. Feelings are reactions. That's it. But if we grow up thinking that we are weak if we have feelings and we are strong if we don't have them, what do we do when we feel something? What do we do when we say, oh, I'm really upset about that? Or that makes me mad. That makes me sad. I'm really anxious about that. That worries me. What do we do? Well, if we don't know how to respond to our feelings, we go eat. Because it's comforting. Because it distracts us. It numbs us. You know, the binge zone? When you're binge eating, you're not feeling anything. You're not thinking anything. And until you start beating yourself up for what you just ate and you say, oh my God, I can't believe I ate that. Bad me. Feelings are just reactions to situations. We need to learn a new way of responding to how we feel. And most of us don't know how to handle the intense feelings that come with deprivation or anything else. You know, sad, angry, anxious, frustrated, all the things, all the emotions. When emotions are too much to bear, Again, we turn to harmful behaviors like binge eating or emotional eating, stress eating, all of that to resolve the feeling, to escape it. It's really a self-abandonment. It's a way of not being there for yourself. It's a way of ditching yourself. So if you are feeling deprived, if you are feeling restricted in some area of your life, if you are restricting food and then binging, it is important to find healthy ways to cope with what's going on, with why you are eating, not focusing on what you are eating. Believe me, when you start focusing on what you are eating instead of, you know, why you are eating, you'll keep binging. But when you focus on why you're eating, you have information, you can start responding to yourself differently, and then you don't go to food because you don't use food to cope if you're already coping by being a friend to yourself. So there are healthy ways of dealing with emotions. And by the way, there are two ways of dealing with emotions. And one is to distract from them, binging, eating, everything involved with eating or other things that we do to avoid our feelings, distract from our emotions. And the other way is to actually feel them. So distracting is when you think that you should just practice gratitude. Oh, I feel bad, so I'll just be grateful for the things I do have. Instead of feeling bad about this, I'll just be grateful for what I do have. That doesn't work. That does not work. I remember someone who got in a car accident. This person had a very nice car. And at first started saying, oh my God, it's going to be such a hassle. I'm going to have to go to the Mercedes dealership and I'm going to have to deal with them. And then I'm going to have to do the body work and I'm going to do all of this. It's just, oh, it's so frustrating to have to deal with this after this accident. And then they stopped and they said, oh, you know what? I'm just lucky to have a car. And I'm just lucky to have such a nice car. Like some people don't have cars, or some people have really terrible cars that break down all the time. So really, I should just be grateful that I'm in this position. No. You first have to say, wow, this is really hard. I was in an accident. Now I've got to deal with the dealership and the body shop and the this and the that. And that is a pain in the butt. That is hard to do. That is frustrating. It disrupts your life. It's really hard. Of course you're upset. Of course you're upset. You're just reacting to the situation. And then maybe you can say, but you know, and not but, and I feel glad that I have this car and I have a reliable source of transportation. So I'm going to feel good about that, but bad about the fact that I've got to deal with the accident. Hold both. Instead of denying your true feelings with gratitude, I'm all for gratitude. I believe in gratitude. Gratitude is important, but not if it is weaponized as a way to make you feel bad about feeling bad. Okay, so how do you feel your feelings? Oh, wait, I just want to say one more thing about distractions. Here are some of the distractions that people tell me that have been recommended to them. Well, when you want to binge, go take a walk, go exercise, go brush your teeth, go call a friend, go whatever. Oh, calling a friend is a good idea, actually, because then you can talk about how you feel. But, oh, here's a good one. Bubble bath. Go take a bubble bath. Yeah. If bubble baths worked to help you distract from your feelings, we'd all be wrinkly, pruny people walking around, always in a bubble bath. No, those are not distractions that work. You know what works as a distraction? Binging. It actually works as a distraction, but it is a frenemy because it hurts you as well as it does help you. It distracts from whatever, but it also hurts you. So that's not a good distraction. Ultimately, we can't distract from our feelings. Yes, we can go and draw something or write something. Journaling is a good distraction and a way of expressing yourself. Calling a friend, those things. But ultimately, we have to feel our feelings. So how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you how not to do that. We don't sit in them until they go away. We don't sit in our feelings until they go away, because you can't out-sit feelings. Sitting doesn't do anything for your emotions. And just being in the feeling doesn't do anything. It just makes you feel worse. You have to learn to respond to your feelings in a different way. So to process your feelings, the first thing you have to do is identify what that feeling is. And a lot of us are so good at turning to food so quickly, we don't even know we're triggered. We think we're triggered by food. We're triggered by something else going on in our lives. And then we just attach it to food because we don't want to look at that other thing. We don't want to feel that other thing. We don't even want to know that other thing. So the first thing to do is know the other thing. What am I feeling? Am I mad, sad, glad, or afraid? What's going on with me? And if you really don't know, because again, get so quick at turning to food, you don't know you're being triggered by a situation. And that's why I developed my food mood formula secret. Not a secret anymore, because I'm telling everybody. Not a secret. But it is the secret to success. The food mood formula secret will help you discover the emotions that are going on within you that are leading to binge eating. And I'll get to that in a little bit. So first you have to identify what it is that's going on with you. Are you some form of angry? Are you mad, frustrated, annoyed, irritated, enraged, angry? Are you some form of sad? Are you sad, gloomy, down? Are you afraid? Do you feel anxious? Are you worried? Do you have anxiety? What's going on with you? So the first thing is to identify it. And that's not enough. And I'll tell you what, that's usually where people stop. Some form of, well, I realize I'm mad. Okay, I'm mad. Why am I still mad? Well, because you've identified it. Identifying a feeling is not the same as feeling a feeling. Oh, I'm sad. So why am I still sad? Because you haven't cried or expressed it or gotten, you know, kind of weepy or however you experience sadness. You know why feelings are called feelings? Because we actually experience them in our bodies. We feel them. And that's why when we get anxious, you know, our heart goes. We feel that anxiety feeling. Or when we're mad, the adrenaline is just going. And when we're sad, we cry. Emotions are called feelings because we feel them in our bodies. But if you're just thinking your feeling in your head, that's just identifying it. Oh, I'm mad. Oh, I'm sad. Oh, I'm worried. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm guilty. Oh, I'm filled with shame. That's identifying it. That is not going to help. It's a step, but it's not going to do it on its own. The next step is to express it. And this is something that everyone just leapfrogs over and they go right to gratitude and why they shouldn't feel that way. Or they go right to food, that they're mad at something, they go right to food, and then they get mad at themselves for eating. That's a displacement. Side note, how many people do I know, I can't even count, who have told me they're not an angry person and they don't get mad. They don't get mad at other people. It's not nice to get mad at other people, and they're not mad. They totally understand, but they have no compunction when it comes to being mad at themselves. So, oh, I'm not angry at that person. I totally understand why that person did it. It was an accident. Or they didn't mean it, or whatever. There's nothing I could do. So, you know, what's the point in being mad? Eat. And then, oh my God, I'm so mad at myself. I can't believe I ate that. Hey, maybe you're not mad at you. Maybe you're taking out that anger on yourself, but it belongs someplace else. Food for thought. Okay, so first you identify your feeling, then you express it. You express your feeling. So you say, let's take, hey, someone on Instagram, you wanna comment on a situation that maybe you feel something about? Feel free, and I'll use that as the example. Or as another example, because I will now come up with an example. Let me see. A friend of mine whose husband is always playing golf on the weekends and doesn't spend time with her. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm so upset because he's always going for golf every weekend and doesn't spend any time with me. Okay, that's the beginning. Then you keep expressing it. I'm upset because it feels like he's choosing golf over me. I'm really annoyed because it's every weekend and he doesn't seem to realize how that affects our family. I'm really frustrated. Maybe I'm actually sad because he doesn't seem to think that I'm as important as golf. Something like that. You keep expressing it. Right? You express what you are feeling in words, whole sentences. And then is when you comfort yourself with words instead of food. So what does that look like? Let's use my golf playing husband as an example. You say to yourself, yeah, of course I am upset. I'm annoyed, angry, hurt that my husband plays golf every single weekend and barely spends time with me and the kids. Of course I'm upset. How else could I feel? It's upsetting. And yeah, I understand that he has to blow off steam and this is his way of doing it. And he sees his buddies and the thing. I know all of it. And of course, I still, even though I understand it, it still bothers me. Of course it does. And that's when then you reassure yourself. You tell yourself something like, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to maybe work something out, maybe a compromise. I'm going to express to him how I feel. I'm going to get some resolution here. And even if I don't get resolution, it feels good to actually express my truth and get it out there and comfort myself than it does to deny my truth, go eat the kitchen, and then get mad at myself for eating everything in sight when really I'm mad at someone else and disappointed. When you go through that process, which sounds a little cumbersome, like it sounds like a lot, but at first it has to be that. You have to really think about, what am I feeling? Okay, am I mad, sad, glad, or afraid? Let me express it. This pisses me off. This makes me happy. Don't eat for celebration either. That's another reason why sometimes people overdo it. This has me worried. This has me anxious. Oh, I'm so scared about this. What did I miss? I'm sad about this. I'm really down. I'm really feeling blue. Then you use the VERY acronym, validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself, to give yourself comfort with words. When you do those three things over and over and over, it becomes automatic. And eventually, you don't turn to food to escape yourself because you're there for yourself, when you're there for yourself, when you are a friend to yourself, you feel good. And when you feel good, you don't need food to abandon yourself, to escape yourself. And so that is how you change your relationship with food. That is how you stop binge eating for good. When you focus on food as the problem with binge eating, oh no, you will keep binging. But when you realize binging is the solution to something that's going on and you address that directly, you will stop binging without even thinking about it, without willpower, without counting a single calorie, carb, fat gram, without thinking about macros, without anything. Yeah. That's how you make peace with food, by making peace with yourself, by responding to yourself differently, by creating a more harmonious attitude towards yourself. If you hate yourself and you're just following yourself around all day, so to speak, thinking about all the things you're doing wrong and pointing out all the things you're doing wrong, always, you could have done that better. You could have said that better. That was a stupid thing to say. Why didn't you do that? If you're doing that to yourself all the time, you're going to turn to food to get away from that mean, bitchy voice. Because that is not a nice voice. That's an inner critic that is constantly making you feel bad about you. The only way to stop binging is to turn that inner critic into a friend. And how do we do that? Well, think about how you treat a friend. If a friend says, oh, I'm so pissed at my husband, he's playing golf every weekend and never spending time with me and the kids. Do you say, oh, okay, look, let's order pizza. I got you, girl. No, you would say, oh, I'm so sorry. Talk to me, right? Or something approximating that. So you got to treat yourself the same way. Instead of responding to yourself when you feel bad with food, respond to yourself as you would to a friend. What's going on? Tell me more. That sounds bad. That sounds hurtful. I can understand. I totally get it. Say that to yourself. Be a friend to yourself instead of a critic. You're just going to feel better overall. And when you feel better overall, once again, you don't need food to escape, to comfort, to distract, to numb, to fill, to all the things that it does. So also, I just want to say this. If you're in the diet binge cycle, I want you to know you are not alone. So many people feel like they're a freak. Like, if people knew what I was doing with food, they would totally judge me. They would not want to be friends with me. They would think differently of me. They would think this or that. Once in a group, one of the group members shared how she threw away some food so she wouldn't eat it. She put it in the trash. And later, she got so into a binge that she went to the trash and she got the food out of the trash and ate it. And she said that she was mortified talking about this and admitting it for her. She was admitting it. And everybody in the group was like, I've done that. So whatever you're doing with food, I know there's so much shame around it. I know that it makes you feel really bad about yourself and like different, like something's wrong with you. Like you have no control, no willpower, and that there's something just wrong with you. You want to eat normally. I hear that all the time too. I just want to be normal. I want to have a normal relationship with food. You don't want to wake up and think about food all day long. Often people who struggle with binging, it's not just that they want to stop binging and maybe lose weight, although those two things aren't always together because some people binge eat and they're not overweight. But let's say you do want to lose weight. You want to stop binging, you want to lose weight, but you also want to lose the preoccupation and the obsession over food all the time. You don't want to think about it all the time. If you think that you are the only person in the world who is struggling with this way, if you are the only person who thinks you are not normal, you lack willpower, there's something wrong with you. If people knew the truth, they would be horrified. No, you have a lot of company. In fact, millions of people feel this way. Binge eating disorder, which is a clinically diagnosable and treatable condition, treatable condition, not character flaw, not about control, not about willpower, not even about food. Binge eating disorder is the most prevalent eating disorder there is. It is more prevalent than anorexia and bulimia combined by far. And even the estimates of how many people struggle with binge eating are underreported because there are a lot of men who struggle and don't report. And there are a lot of people who have no idea. They have an eating disorder. They just think they're food addicts. They just think they have no control, no willpower. They think there's something wrong with them. No, no, you are not alone. You are not alone. And there is a way out. One thing that really helps is to get support. So I want to invite you to my Facebook community, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, and where I'm there and I give you tips and resources all the time to help you heal your relationship with yourself, to stop dieting. And by the way, I know it's hard to stop dieting cold turkey. It's really scary to stop dieting. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to go right into the deep end of the pool where you think that you cannot swim and you're just going to sink like a stone. You can just think about the idea of, what if I didn't diet? And you can also start thinking about, well, what's eating at me? Why am I eating that? Why am I turning to food? The more that you do that and the more that you can focus on why you are eating, the less you're going to be focused on food anyway, and the easier it will be eventually to stop dieting. But really, with the right support system in place, you can overcome any obstacle on your journey of life. You really can. So I want to invite you to my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook. It's got now well over 1,000 people there from all over the world. There are just so many wonderful people there who are there to give and receive support and get tips and tools to really help you on your journey. Because I know it is possible. I know from my personal experience as well as professional experience. You know, I often tell the story of how I was the poster child for eating disorders because I would go in a cycle of I would restrict. Then I would binge, then I would binge and purge, and then I would restrict again, and then I would binge and purge, and then I would binge, and it would just go in this cycle over and over and over and over, and it was all that I could think about. When I was a teenager, I look back at my journals, every single page is filled with numbers, calories I ate, calories I burned, the weight I was, the weight I was going to be, the calories of this, the calories of that, adding up everything I ate all day. Calories, fat grams. I would go out with friends. I wasn't thinking about having fun with my friends. I was thinking about, do I look fat? Am I thinner than she is? It's sort of mortifying to admit this, right? I am, because it's so common. I didn't think about anything other than that. My mind was empty pretty much of any other thoughts other than, am I going to lose weight tomorrow or gain it? What have I eaten? How much have I exercised? How many calories have I gotten rid of? And am I thin enough or too big? And of course, I never felt thin enough, right? because I never felt good enough. So I went to therapy. And here's the thing. I went to therapy for anxiety. I talked with my therapist about guys and goals and dreams and friends and family, a lot of family. But I never told her what was going on with food. She had no idea that I was the poster child for eating disorders. She had no clue. And yet by the time I left treatment, all my eating disorders were gone. And not once, not a single time, had I ever talked about food. Not once. So how is it possible? How did I go from being the poster child for eating disorders to totally be liberated from them, gone forever, without ever talking about food? And that's because what we did in therapy is I realized I was that inner critic I told you about earlier. Oh yeah, I was really good at that. I was super critical, judgmental. Nothing was ever good enough. I was just a slave driver. I was so mean to myself. And so I started being nicer to myself. I started paying attention to what I thought, what I felt, what I wanted, what I didn't want. Started learning to set boundaries, have expectations, be nice to myself. And you know what happened? One day I woke up and I realized, like, wow, I haven't thought about food for a couple days. Who am I? And that couple days turned into a couple of weeks, turned into a couple of months, a couple of years, a couple of decades. Because when you really heal the root of why you are turning to food, it's gone forever. Forever. You do not need to deal with this the rest of your life. You do not have to be in recovery, because if you've been listening to me at all, you know this. And if you're new to my show, hear this. I don't believe in recovery. I believe in liberation. Recovery, you're always in recovery. You know, we don't say we're in recovery from anxiety or depression. I know those are feeling states, not behaviors, but we just say, hey, I was depressed. I was anxious, and now I'm better. I believe in liberation, because liberation means you are no longer dealing with any kind of emotional eating, binge eating, any kind of using food to resolve something painful or upsetting. Liberation means you have won the diet war. You are at peace with yourself. You have made peace with food. Liberation means you just live the rest of your life and you think about your day, not your diet. You think about what you want, what you don't want. You don't think about food other than what sounds good. Oh, and you enjoy it. Food is meant to be enjoyed. If you're in the diet binge cycle, chances are you are not enjoying food at all. Even the food that you binge on, it's so infused with guilt. It's really not all that enjoyable. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's torture. And there is a way out. And the only way out is through, which is identify what you're feeling. If you don't have the food mood formula, go if you're on Instagram, it is in my, it's in my bio, the Food Mood Formula Secret, where I break down the reason why you are turning to food by focusing on, like, what you are eating actually gives a clue as to why you are eating. So that's the Food Mood Formula, which is available if you're on Instagram in my bio, if you're not, at my website, or go to Instagram and get it off my bio. But it's DrNinaInc.com. So first you identify what you are feeling, then you express what you are feeling with words. If you have, that's why in my book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating, I did a whole bunch of prompts. If you go to page 45, 46, 47, there are all these prompts so that you can finish the sentence, which helps you express your feelings. That's the second part. The third part is to then use very. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself when you feel better by using words. Ice cream is just going to be dessert and not a way that you comfort yourself. So that is the show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. If you miss the show live, you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts. Just look for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. And if you would like to join my Facebook community, just head on over to Facebook and search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community and get started on banishing binging so that you can really lead a life you love. Have a great rest of the week. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.